Today is what the Bible talks about when it talks about meditation. We're going to look at several verses of Scripture today. We're going to begin in Psalms 1, which is our text. And let's go ahead and read that. Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man. We used this last week. We've been talking about renewing the mind, and this is kind of segueing into this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That word meditate, I want us to look at that. There are several Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are translated meditate. Now, I can't speak Hebrew, so I'm not going to try. I'm just going to give you the meanings of those three words. You have to have special talent to speak Hebrew. And I can't do that, you know. I'm not good at that. But the first word that's translated meditate, it's translated meditate. Okay, so that doesn't help us a whole lot, does it? 25 times this word is used, but it's translated meditate. And the second way it's translated is the word mourn, M-O-U-R-N. How many of you ever mourned before? What happens when you mourn? You have a hurt on the inside of you. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe a relationship was destroyed. Maybe you lost a pet. Maybe whatever that is, you go through this thing called mourning. And what happens is that you think a lot about the person or whatever it was that you lost, and you have a hurt in your heart where that is concerned. Well, this is kind of, that is a form of meditation, because that's what you think about. That's what you fixate on. That's what it controls your whole thought process. So this is a kind of a, although mourning is not necessarily a negative thing, it's a necessary thing that we go through when we experience a separation of some kind. but it gives a good picture of what biblical meditation is about. It's about being able to fix your mind on something and to engage that not only in a mental way, but also in a emotional way. See, we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. God gave you emotions, and emotions can be a good thing. Sometimes emotions attach us to something that helps us with this process of meditation. Mourning is kind of the negative side of it. But what I'm talking about is delighting in the law of the Lord. And it's kind of the same picture where you fixate on the principles, the precepts, the goodness of God, whatever it is in your life that you need to fixate on, to meditate on this thing. So there is that picture. Then there is the word speak. Speak. Meditation has to do with saying something. In speaking something that's on the inside of you. our thing that we're going through, that we're talking about, is we talked a whole lot about our thoughts. Thoughts produce words. Words produce actions. Actions become habits. Habits become character. Character becomes our destiny. If you don't like where you are, what do you need to change? You need to go back through that process, and you need to see where you're off. Is this a character problem? Is this a bad habit problem? Is this an action problem? Is this a speaking problem? Am I thinking the wrong things? And you can change anything that starts with the way that you think about something. The way that you perceive God, the way that you think about God, will determine your actions toward God. If you think God is that you don't need to be saved, that God's a loving God and a good God, and we don't need to be redeemed, and that I can earn my way to salvation, that's the way you see God. What if that's wrong? Is that going to affect your destiny? Absolutely. So we need to learn how to think right, because when we think right, we speak right, we do right, our habits are good, Our character becomes good and our destiny becomes good. So I think what I'm trying to say is that you have to take charge of your spiritual life. God is not taking charge of your spiritual life. It's up to you to take charge of that. And there is a process that we go through. And part of that is meditating. Meditating on the Word of God. Then the next word is the word, and this is another one that the heresy hunters like to jump on, and it's the word imagine. Imagine. Is imagination a bad thing? No. Who gave us the ability to imagine? God gave us the ability to imagine. I like to watch little kids. We keep Ethan and Jackson quite a bit, our grandkids, and Ella too. But Ethan and Jackson, especially, they're at that age that, you know, when they're little bitty, they do three things. Eat, sleep, and poop. That's what they do. That's what babies do. And it doesn't seem like that they're growing, but on the inside, things are forming and, you know, things are coming together. But the other day, I was sitting in the living room and listening, and I heard one of the boys, and they had their little men. And they were over there, and he was creating a scenario with his little men. They were talking to each other. And they had this little thing going on, or he did, just with himself and his little men. He was creating an atmosphere there, and he was playing out this deal. What is that? That's his imagination that's beginning to develop. God gave us the ability to imagine. Now, can you imagine wrong things? Absolutely. You can think on wrong things. The Bible tells us to cast down wrong imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It tells us to do that. But imagination is a good thing. So part of imagination, or to imagine, is part of meditation. Then the next thing that the word means is to study. Everybody say study. To study something. To study something. Christian people should be the most studious people there is. I'm telling you the truth. We should be the most studious people that there are. Okay. Then the word means to mutter or utter. Here again, we're back to the thing of speech. We were deer hunting yesterday. I told this in the first service. I don't know if Joe was in here when I told it. And I kind of got tired of sitting on the stand. It's starting to get dark. And I thought, I'm just going to get down and walk back to the crossing so Joe don't have to come all the way in and get me. So I knew that he was going to cross the creek at a certain spot. So I walked back to the crossing. And about dark, I saw the four-wheeler coming across the deal. And I heard somebody talking. And I thought, well, he's talking to Miranda on the phone. Well, when he got there, I said, who are you talking to? He was talking to himself. He was talking out loud to himself. I could hear him 200 yards away over the roar of the four-wheeler. He was talking to himself. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you talk to yourselves? I do. I preach sermons when I'm driving down the road. If I'm dealing with a particular situation, sometimes when I'm by myself. He thought he was by himself, but he wasn't. I was listening. That just goes to show you better be careful what you're saying. Somebody might be listening. But I'll talk it out where I can get it out and I can start dealing with it. What is that? That's a form of meditation. Meditation is a huge thing. It's not just about thinking about something. It has to do with your imagination. It has to do with your study time. It has to do with speaking certain things and speaking out of your heart and muttering and uttering these things. All of that is part of the process of meditation. And let me tell you, all of us do those things. We all talk to ourselves. Okay? That's meditation. The question is, are we meditating on the right things? Because thoughts produce what? Words. Words produce, you know. We've been down that road a few times. So that's part of it also. And then the word means to roar.
Roar.
Roar. Or to growl. Or to groan. Now, I can identify with that one. Sometimes when you're facing something and you, oh, and that can be a form of meditation. And in fact, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit helping us to pray by groanings. And sometimes the only way that you can express what's on the inside of you and get it out is to, oh, it's kind of akin to the mourn. You know, when people mourn, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get something out of them. They're trying to get over something. So this is the first picture of this first word that has to do with meditation. The second one means this, and it's along the same line. It means to whisper, to mutter, or to utter. Talking to yourself. You know, just talking. And a whole lot about meditation is talking things out. Talking things out. Then the third word means to devise, to plot. And I like this one. Resounding music. Resounding music. Music is powerful. Did you know that? Rhyme is powerful. That's why jingles, they use jingles a whole lot. You know why? Because they get into your mind. Winston tastes good like a... Now, how old is that? That's old. That's 40-something years ago, and you can still remember Winston tastes good. Why can you... That's for your time. Mark says, I can't remember that. It's because you weren't born. Winston tastes good like a... Cigarette should. That's the jingle. Now, it doesn't matter whether it tastes good or not. It didn't. Marlboro did, but Winston didn't. But, see, I used to smoke. I know. Okay? But Winston didn't taste good, but that sticks in your mind because it rhymes, it's jingle, it's catchy, it's song. This is wonderful medium that we have that we call worship. Because it can help us in our meditation life. I admitted my sin in the first service, so I guess I better admit it in the second service also. But I did something sinful this last week. I went to hear Willie Nelson. Who else was there? Okay, several of you there. I went to hear Willie Nelson. And all week long, these words kept going over in my mind. Blue eyes crying in the rain. All week long. How did that get in there? Willie sung it in there. What is that? That's meditation. Music is a very, very powerful way of meditation. That's why I say you need to be careful about what you listen to. That's why you need to be careful about what you allow your children to listen to. Because the words get into our minds. And it controls our thinking. And there's nothing like good worship music. In fact, I think the early church understood this because in the early days, you know what they did? They did not sing hymns. They sang psalms. They sang the word. They set the word. They set the psalms to music and meter and all of those kind of things. You know why they did? Because they understood the power of music to cause us to learn and to study and to meditate because it gets caught in your mind and you find yourself repeating that and repeating that. It's a spiritual thing, but it has a natural application. Isaac Watts was branded a heretic by many of the people of that day because he introduced an ungodly thing in the church called hymns. See, some of you thought the Apostle Paul was the one who introduced hymns. It was not. It was Isaac Watts. He was one of the early fathers of hymnody. And he introduced that. And he got a lot of resistance because he was taking them away from the Psalms. And it was ungodly to sing those man-made hymns. But you know what? They had the word in them, didn't they? And you know what they do? They get into your mind. They get into your meditation. Now, there's some terrible hymns, and there's some wonderful hymns. And, you know, and we fight the same fight with going from hymns to praise and worship or this, the style of music. See, that's not what matters. The thing that matters is, what are the words? What is the words? And it doesn't matter what the vehicle is to get it in us. We all have our likes and dislikes. But that has nothing to do with anything. Music is designed to connect to the soul, and it's designed to make us meditate. And a lot of times, you know, during the week, I'll think back to some of the songs that we sang on Sunday or Wednesday, and it gets caught in my mind. What is my heart doing? It's meditating. See, we all meditate. What we need to learn to do is to make it work for us and not against us. Meditation is not good nor evil. It's something that's designed. It's something that God put in us to be able to do. You can use it for evil. You can use it for good. You can meditate on pornography. Guess what it's going to produce in you? Lust. You can meditate on the Word of God. Guess what it's going to produce? It's going to produce a different destiny for us. So with those things in mind, I want us to look at some scripture. We're going to be looking in Psalms. And we got one New Testament scripture we're going to look at. But I think they're going to have those up on the overhead here. The first one I want us to go to is Psalms 19. I love this verse of scripture right here. And it says something really neat. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I learned that in King James, so sometimes I have trouble translating that. What does it say? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Now, David was called a man after God's own heart. I believe that this is one of the ways that this happened. Look at what he's saying here. It's not only just let the words of my mouth be acceptable. He said, let even what I think about, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And that word acceptable there means a delight. So what is he saying? He says, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be a delight to you, O Lord. You know, sometimes we say one thing and think another. But let me tell you something about God. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. Why, you might as well say it. No. Then everybody else will know how stinking thinking you got. No, you don't need to say everything you think. What we need to work on is how to let our words and our meditations line up. And it be a good thing. And it be something that delights the heart of God. David cared and cultivated his relationship with God. David wanted to be pleasing to the Lord. He said, Lord, I not just my words be good, I want the very meditation of my heart to be good. And God says he's a man after my own heart. Now, did he mess up? Yeah, he messed up. But he got it right. Now go with me to Psalm 63. We're looking at some of the things that David said or the psalm writer said. I love Psalm 63. I like these verses. O God, verse 1, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So have I looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Then look at verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Does that sound like prosperity of the soul? Does that sound like healthiness? You know, the Bible talks about a lean soul, the leanness of soul. This is talking about a soul that's full of marrow and fatness. Marrow is the life-giving substance of the bones. And fatness. He says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Wow. David thought about God a lot. Now, there's several things that he thought of. He just didn't think, okay, God. No, he thought about his word, his statutes, and we're going to see that as we go through this. But here's the key. Here's a key to living the kind of life that you need to live, and the development of your faith and the renewing of your mind to be able to function in the world as you should as a follower of Jesus Christ is to develop the proper life of meditation. It's so, so important. Now notice where he said that he meditated on him in the night watches. In the night watches. Evidently David would wake up during the night and what would he do? He would think about the Word of God. Have you ever woke up in the night and thought about your problems? Have you been troubled about things and you wake up at night and you fixate on your problems? You know what that is? That's meditation. Maybe there's an offense in your life. Maybe there's something going on in your life that's got you upset and you wake up at night and it rolls over and over and over. That's meditation. David said, when I wake up in the night watches, my mind rolls over and over on the things of God. The things of God. Why? Because he knows that thoughts translate into words, which translate into actions, which translate into habits, which translate into character, which translates into destiny. Did David have a good destiny? Yeah, he was king. He's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. He was chosen by God for certain things. His meditation opened him up to all of that. All right. Now then, go with me to Psalms 104, verse 33. David said this, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. What's he doing when he's singing to the Lord? He's meditating. It wasn't Winston tastes good. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. Wow. He says, may my meditation be sweet to Him. I think God likes meditation. I do. You know what that is? That's your heart communing with His heart around His stuff. And He likes that. It is sweet to Him. It's not just thinking about your problems. It's not just asking Him for stuff. It's just spending time with Him and thinking about the things of God. See, let me give you a challenge. I don't know if you on purpose meditate. You do meditate, but we need to learn to meditate on purpose. Take an attribute of God. I think I challenged you to do this one time. But take one attribute of God a day. God is what? Love. Take the love of God and meditate on it for one day. God is, what else? What? Kind. Take that attribute of God. Meditate on it. Find scripture that go with it. God is faithful. God is just. God is righteous. God is merciful. God is strong. You can take attributes of God and you can on purpose make those your meditation. You'll be surprised what it does for your life. You'll be surprised how some other things in your life will change if you'll do that. Okay, let's go to Psalms 119. When you read the Bible through every year, you know, the Bible through in one year, you read 5 or 10 chapters a day, you always dread Psalms 119. You know why? Because it is long. That puppy is 176 verses long. But one of the neat things about Psalms 119, it is all about the Word of God. I think there are 3 or 4 verses in that that does not have some reference to the Word, the statutes, the precepts, the principles, the ways of God. It's all about God. And I didn't realize how much David talks about meditation in this. So we're going to look at several verses in Psalms 119. The first one is 15. 119, 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. He says he's going to do what? He's going to meditate on the precepts, the principles. Not just God himself, but his principles. What do his principles do? Well, his principles show us how he is, how he works. And then he says, I'm going to contemplate your ways. I want to understand what makes you tick, God. I want to understand what the way that you think, the way that you are. Will that change the way that you relate to God? See, if you have believed that God is this mean dude up here, that he's looking for a way to judge you and send you to hell, that will affect your relationship with God. But when you begin to realize his attributes, it'll begin to transform your mind and change you so that you can relate to him in a different way altogether. Then verse 23. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. He could be meditating on all of these people that's against him. You know, it's a bummer when somebody's mad at you. It's really a bummer when somebody is against you. It really hurts. But David says, you know, I got all of these people that are against me, but God, I'm going to meditate on your statutes. I'm going to meditate on your statutes. I'm not going to meditate on my problems. I'm going to meditate on my statutes. Verse 48, my hands also I will lift to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. There it is again. He's talking about meditation. Is meditation wrong? No, meditation's good. It's good to meditate. We all do it. Don't let the heresy hunters keep you away from a truth saying, well, that's New Age or that's Eastern religion. No, God made us to meditate. But listen, your heart is designed for the Word of God. It will. It can handle the Word of God. That's what it's designed to do. That's the way you were put together. That's the original intent of what God had to do. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. Now, he could be meditating on how he's been done wrong. But what does he say? But I will meditate on your precepts. I'll meditate on your precepts. Who fights your battles? Do you fight your battles? Or do you allow your character, your godly developed character, fight your battles? Do you allow God to fight your battles, or do you fight your battles? He says, they're speaking lies against me. They're speaking falsehoods against me. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to meditate on your precepts. I'm not going to get involved in the fray. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm going to meditate on your precepts. Then verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Wow. That's hard. I said, that's hard. He says, your law is my meditation all the day. I don't know how your mind works, but my attention span sometimes is that long. I can think on something, and the first thing you know, I'm thinking about what I got to do after a while. Anybody else like that? I'm not saying I'm sick or anything, but my attention span. And I find myself, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I was meditating on you. Now I'm thinking about cheese puffs. Yeah. McDonald's coffee with a shot of espresso. I'm thinking about something. So I go back to meditating on God. But David said, you know what? I just meditate on your law all day long. All day long. Wow. That's pretty good. He developed that, didn't he? You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Wow. He was smarter than his teachers. You know why? Because his heart was fixed on meditating on the things of God. Your testimonies. You know what we do when we come together at the Lord's table? You know, it's a meditation. Really. It's a remembrance. It's a counting your blessing. It's a worship. But it's a time that you can just meditate on the testimonies of God. You could go back to God delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you can go back how He delivered you out of the power of sin, out of your addiction, out of your broken life, out of the broken marriage, whatever it was in your life that brought you to Christ. And you can go back and you can reflect where God has brought you from and where He's brought you to. That's meditation. That's meditation. We baptized in the first service this morning. And baptism is a wonderful thing. And the thing that I pray is we baptize this young man, that God would indelibly imprint that experience on his heart, so that when he finds himself in a place of temptation down the road, that he'll think back to his baptism and how he felt. And he'll meditate on that. And it will give him strength to overcome. Wow. So even baptism can be a meditation. The experiences that we have with God can be meditations. Do you remember where you were when you got saved? You remember where you were? You remember how you felt? We need to think about that sometimes. That's meditation. What does it do to us? It strengthens us because it's the testimonies of the Lord. It's the workings of God in our life. Now then, Psalms 119, 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. You ever wake up at night? You know a good thing to do is meditate yourself back to sleep. Just meditate yourself back to sleep. You can think about your problems. That's meditation. You can think about your fears. That's your meditation. You can think about your worries. That's meditation. Why not just think on the goodness of God? Worry will keep you awake. Fear will keep you awake. The sweetness of God's presence as you meditate on it will put you to sleep. Well, is that bad that God puts me to sleep? Well, some of you, we put to sleep every Sunday morning when you're here. I'm not calling any names, but I'm just saying, you know. Sometimes I go to sleep watching TV and I dream what's happening on TV. So maybe you who sleep in church, you dream about what we're preaching about because you can still hear it and it goes in your eyes. Okay. Just saying. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is what we're going to close with. I want to alert my prayer team to be ready. 1 Timothy 4:12. This is Paul's instruction to a young minister, Timothy. Wow. If young men could get a hold of this, if young men would get a hold of what I'm talking about and not wait till they're 50 years old before they start doing some of these things, they could be so much further along than what they could be. Verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading. Now, reading is what? We said study a while ago is meditation. I heard an astounding thing the other day. I was listening to Jim Rohn. And he says, he was talking about the importance of reading, and there's a lot of people that don't read. And he says, you know, some people say, I just can't afford to buy books. And he says, how much does a library card cost? Free. It's free, isn't it? Do you know what percent of people have a library card in America? What would you guess? 3. All of the knowledge, all of the research that's available for free. And 3% of people have library cards. That means 97% of people don't have library cards. I don't know what percent of people don't read, but it would probably be astronomical. Or the percentage of people who read junk. Because whatever you read is what you meditate on, okay? But what would happen, Mark, if we were one of the 3% that were readers? You know, David says, I am far beyond my teachers. He knew how to meditate. He knew how to read, study, contemplate, think upon. I call it stewing, putting things in your crock pot. Isn't meat good in crock pots? Boy, you put it on and you let it stew. And you know, a lot of times when I'm dealing with stuff in my life, I take it as far as I can take it, then I put it in the crock pot and I put it on the back burner. And it's amazing. Sometimes 2 or 3 days later, I'll wake up and that answer will be right there. What happened? While I rested my conscious mind, my subconscious mind didn't quit working on that problem or on that issue. It worked on. You're designed to do that. Have you ever heard the saying, I need to sleep on that. I need to sleep on that for a day or two. I need to consider that. You know, sales, and I'm not, if you're a salesman, I'm not bashing you, but a lot of sales is based on pressure and urgency of the moment. But a lot of times, we would probably come to a different conclusion if we'd sleep on something and allow our minds the time to work through some of those deals. It's called meditation, thinking about those things. He says, give attention to reading. Reading. Reading is meditation. Study is meditation. To exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Now, what did he say meditate on? Your style of life? Think about it. Think about the words that you say. Think about your character, how important that is. Is your character important? Sure it is. Think about the things that you read. Think about exhortation. Think about doctrine. Think about the gift that you have in your life. Every one of us are uniquely gifted. You know what our natural tendency is? Is to reproduce what we see. The Bible school I went to, they went there and guess who they wanted to be like? They wanted to be like the president of the Bible school. Those who went to Jimmy Swaggart's Bible school, you know who they wanted to be like? Jimmy Swaggart. Those who went to the Assembly of God Bible schools, you know who they wanted to be like? And this is in the old days. What was his name? Yeah. I just went blank. The old gentleman that was such a good preacher. Anyway, they all wanted to be like him. If they go to the Baptist Bible schools, they want to be like Charles Stanley or why can't, who? Adrian Rogers. Yeah, some of those guys. Why couldn't we just be like we are? And a lot of times I think that we just imitate and we cheat ourselves out of what God wants to do in our lives because we don't take the time to meditate on the gift that God has given us. We don't see ourselves in context with that gifting that God has given us. Maybe we would break through in an area and be unique. Maybe we would start a move. Maybe we would start a different way of thinking. If we took the time to meditate on not only all of these things, but also the way that we're gifted by God to do certain things. You shouldn't have to fit into somebody else's mold. You need to be who you are with your unique giftedness. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to give your mind and your imagination to those things so that God can create that in you as a person. Meditation is a powerful tool. We all do it. Let's learn to do it right in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. We're going to pray, and as we pray, I'm going to encourage you. You may have a need here today. And the greatest need that you may have may be that you've not connected with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, you can have a lot of success outside of God. But the success that you have outside of God has nothing to do with eternal things. It just has to do with the here and now. There's a lot of people who have been rich, successful businessmen and been rich. But you know what? When they die, that all ends. They may be influential, but it doesn't produce anything eternal. The eternal things are only produced by eternal relationship. And that begins with our relationship with Jesus. So if you're here today and you've not made Him the Lord of your life, any one of these people here today can pray that prayer with you. And you can get connected with the Lord. Don't care whatever other needs you might have. You may be going through something that you need to pray about. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need peace, and maybe you need wisdom. Whatever that is, as I begin to pray, I want you to feel free to come, and they will be glad to pray with you. Father, we thank You today in Jesus' name. Thank You for the power of Your Word. Thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit right now in this place. Thank You that You're speaking to hearts right now. You're speaking to lives right now in Jesus' name. That tug that you feel at your heart is God speaking to you. That drawing that you feel in your heart right now is God speaking to you. Please be open to what He wants to do in your life. He'll meet you at the point of your obedience. Father, thank You for the work that You're doing in each and every person here today. I thank You and I praise You in Jesus' name.